Honoru Data Bytes. Hello everyone, this is Teha, your podcast host, bringing you a fresh episode of Honoru Data Bytes. I'm very excited to welcome our guest on the show today, Felix Leao, who is the Director of Product Management for the APAC region here at Honoru. Today we will be discussing data lakes and unleashing its true value with Felix. But before we continue our discussion, a quick introduction. Felix has been responsible for product evangelizing and product innovation, serving the needs of customers. He has been involved in analytics for over 16 years and is very passionate about the role of data management in unleashing the true potential of analytics and AI applications. Welcome to our show, Felix. We're looking forward to our discussion today. Can you give us a quick introduction about your journey in the data space and more specifically your role at Honoru for our listeners?
Yeah, thanks, Neha. It's great to be here. And as you mentioned, I joined Honoru about 13, 14 months ago. Spent quite a long time in the analytics space, previous with SaaS and then previous to that at IBM. So I've worked up and down the analytics stack, from data management to visualization to machine learning applications and solutions. And it kind of dawned on me that, you know, most of the challenges and the efforts and investment is tied up in data management. So I think there's still some big challenge to be solved in that area, which is kind of why I'm here.
Wonderful. So let's jump right in. My first question for you today is, what is a data lake and why is there a need for it?
Yeah, data lakes become pretty popular recently. For those of you not familiar with the concept, I guess most of your listeners should be fairly familiar with the concept. It's, I guess, an evolution of the storage technology from the Hadoop era. We had HDFS, which is a distributed file system. I think that's kind of evolved over the last, you know, 3-4 years now into what we call object storage. So, you know, a lot of customers got things like S3 as your data lake storage, and then you couple that with sort of cloud-based scalability, which is essentially what most people understand today as a data lake. So it's a combination of highly distributed, scalable storage in the cloud, and also still extending some of the flexibility from, I guess, Hadoop-based storage technology, which means it's very, very flexible. You can store structured, unstructured. You don't have to model the data. The cost of storage is fairly cheap, which is why, you know, I think it's become pretty popular as another sort of a storage mechanism for a company to store all sorts of data going forward.
Wonderful. So it is basically like a combination of, I would say, like object storage technology and along with cloud storage technologies, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it holds a lot of promise. For example, you know, a lot of customers, particularly in the banking sector, they want to store things like behavior data, not so much transaction data, but behavior data, you know, mobile usage, you know, in the industry, manufacturing area, you know, a lot of companies want to store sensor data, manufacturing machine data. You don't necessarily want a modeler. You don't make sure you store in a cost-effective way. Data lake is a great mechanism to store that kind of data.
Perfect. So then what would you say are some challenges and also some benefits with data lakes?
Well, I think the benefit I already touched on, right? So first of all, it's very, very flexible. You can store, structured, unstructured. It is also very scalable. So using object storage technology from Amazon or Azure, there's really no limit in how much you can store that. So it's very, very scalable. It's also fairly cost effective compared to traditional databases or data warehouse, you know, just because essentially you're storing a bit of files in this object storage. So, you know, it's flexible, it's cost effective, it's pretty scalable. You know, and I speak to a lot of customers on this topic, and you know, I always talk about, just because you can store it doesn't mean you can leverage it effectively, you know, provision to the end user and get insight out of it. So I think once we've solved the storage component of the challenger to a large extent, you know, there's still other challenges as it relates to how do you actually use data lake data for insight. Let me give you a couple of examples. So first of all, data lake is very, very raw form. It's essentially just files. Our files store in object storage like S3 or ADLSS. So you still have to have a mechanism that surfaces that data through the end user, typically through SQL. So most company organization will still need other technology to sit on top of it. There are many, many, many technology out there. There's Presto, Trino, Athena. So you have to have a way to provide a scalable access to end user, typically through SQL. There's also challenges around discoverability of the files. So, you know, just because you have the data in your data lake doesn't mean it's easy to find, easy to use. So there's an element of how do you expose those data to the end user through some sort of marketplace, through a self-service professional services. So that's kind of challenge number two. Number three is probably one of the big one. I think a lot of people still miss in that whilst you're storing a lot of data into data lake storage, there's still a huge amount, I would say the majority amount of data in the enterprise today that is still outside of the data lake, you know, in your traditional applications, in your data warehouse, in your data mart. So, you know, quite often to tackle specific use cases around customer churns, predictive maintenance, you still have to combine joint data from data lake with the rest of your enterprise data repository. So you have to have a robust, scalable, sustainable way to do that. So that's another problem. The last big one is probably security and governance. Data lake file, as I mentioned, typically are just files and object storage. So there's still a significant amount of work you need to do to layer level security and governance on top of it. So that's another challenge that organizations typically have to grapple with. So there's a few of them here, right? So secret access, ability to integrate the other data's repositories, discoverability of the data, and finally, security and governance are some of the things that companies typically have to sort of pay attention and work on in order to really unleash the value of your data lake storage.
Can you tell us more about data lakes as compared to data warehouses?
Yeah, so that's a kind of a very, very common question. Data warehouse are pretty well understood concept. You have Teradata, SQL, Oracle, you centralize your database, provide SQL access to your enterprise users. The difference really, I sort of touched on this a little bit earlier, right? So data lake is trying to solve some of the perceived challenges with data warehouse. Number one, you have to model it. So in order for you to use data in the data warehouse, you have to model it. First of all, you have to ETL into the end data model. So it could be data vault, could be star schema. So there's a significant amount of effort involved in that data modeling ETL process. In contrast with Lakehouse, as I mentioned earlier, it's just files. You can just easily put the files into data lake without you having to do much about it. So there's a concept called schema on read. So the point is that you don't have to model or define the schema when you load the files. It's only when you use it, depending on the use case, you define the schema depending on the end users. That's kind of one contrast. The other one is cost, I mentioned earlier. Data warehousing typically in terms of implementation, in terms of the modeling process, in terms of the software you need, in terms of the storage you need, can be quite costly. A lot of people reference cost per terabyte or cost per record. There's really no comparison, right, when it comes to data warehouse, the cost associated with data warehouse versus what you typically have to pay in a data lake scenario. So there's a couple of sort of contrasts around in terms of flexibility and cost.
Two pretty major factors, I would say. So I can see why then data lakes becomes more preferable. So moving on to my next question, what are the essential elements of data lakes and analytics solution?
I speak to a lot of customers who who's created data lakes and they're storing mm-hmm. a lot of data into data lakes. And it's always a bit of an interesting moment when I ask them, so why do you have the data lake? What do you want to do with it?
Right.
And this is where they kind of roll their eyes and I really have to think about the answers. I think in the last 2-3 years, there is a little bit of a trend around, let's just store it. Let's just store it in a data lake. We might use it one day. And there's some rationale to that. But more and more today, I think it is about the business value. It's about the use case. It's about the analytics insights. So to my point earlier, you can't just store it. Storing data into data lake creates no value for the organization. It is when you, a data scientist or a business user, do some analysis on top of the data. It's when they build a machine learning model on top of the analytics data and operationalize that model in some sort of decision process that you realize the value of the data. So the point, as I mentioned earlier, it's about the provisioning process. It's about how you make the data discoverable. It's also about how you support different personas, regardless of their skill level, which can be challenging, as I mentioned earlier.
Taking this a bit further, can you explain the deployment process for data lakes and what are some steps to identify if a data lake is the right solution for an organization? And where does Denodo come into the picture?
Yeah, data lake deployment today is fairly straightforward, right? So, most of the public cloud service provider, they have an offering. So S3 is probably the most common one. Mm-hmm. They even have specific services, I think it's called data lake formation or something like that, where they help you migrate, move, create the repository, apply the right security framework over it. So the creation of data lake, I would say today, largely is relying on these public services, public cloud vendor services. They're pretty straightforward. It's a matter of choosing which cloud provider and what type of object storage technology. From that point of view, it's pretty straightforward. Where we're coming is really to solve some of the problem I mentioned earlier, right? In terms of, with the latest version of Denodo platform, we're very excited that we are embedding an MPP engine in the form of Presto to solve that secret access problem I mentioned earlier. So we are literally now helping customers by laying the node on top of your data lake, wherever it is, and then through the Presto embedded MPP engine, now we have, we are solving that problem where we're going to make the data easily accessible for end user through SQL, and we are providing the capability of that highly scalable SQL engine through the Presto engine. So that's a big, a very exciting development from the Denodo point of view. So that's, you know, one of the things we're doing. The other thing is some of the other stuff we talked about, because Denodo platform has very mature capability as it relates to things like data catalog, marketplace, integration with other enterprise repositories, as well as a very sophisticated security framework. All of that automatically gets applied to the data lake repository. So we are solving the, you know, some of the other problems I mentioned earlier in terms of accessibility, discoverability, the ability to easily unify, integrate with other repositories, as well as the security challenges, which you know, Denodo has very, very advanced functionality, things like tag-based security, role-based security, and all that automatically gets applied to, you know, all the data lake files, which is very, very useful for enterprise today.
It's very exciting to know, Felix. So I just have one question here. So can you give us an example of an organization, or rather an industry, where you know, the data lake's implementation has helped them with their functioning? So do you have an example in mind that you can share with us?
Yeah, we have plenty of customer in this area. Without naming specific customer, you know, we have large manufacturing customers. We have people in the agrochemical business. We have a lot of customers in where I am in the mining industry, who all use data lake in some shape or form to store some of the data I mentioned earlier, things like sensor data, things like behavior data, and things like research data. So a lot of our customers is into sort of clinical research and that. And the point I want to make is that, you know, they use the Denodo not just specifically to expose the data lake data. You know, we are going to do that, and we're going to do that much better through the MPP engine. But they are really focused around providing a unified interface for the end consumers to support specific use cases. You know, we have some customers, for example, Intel is the customers, and they're very, very focused around not just about, you know, specific repository, but providing that unified view for the end user, which I think is the main focus, right? To my point mentioned earlier, data lake doesn't really deliver any value. It's through the data provisioning process to the end user, who to some extent doesn't really care where the data comes from, right? So we're trying to abstract and simplify that process, whether it be warehouse or data lake, it doesn't really matter, to unify that access to the end consumer to make it easier for them to deal with their specific use cases, regardless of where the data comes from.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing these examples. This was a very wonderful session indeed. So moving forward, I just have a very quick Q&A round for you. So are you ready to begin?
Sure, let's do it.
Awesome. So first question for you is, what is your favorite cuisine? If you had to name one.
I do like Japanese, so I would probably say that's my favorite cuisine.
Name one aspect of your daily routine that inspires you to excel.
I would probably say it's my morning meditation. Might surprise some people, but I'm a big believer in mindfulness. So I would say, you know, 10 minutes of meditation in the morning does wonders for me. And I encourage everyone to try that out if you don't already do that.
Awesome. Sounds wonderful. It was great fun to have you on board and to learn more about data lakes today. So thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Nia. So, you know, we're very excited about this new release with the MPP data lake SQL engine. So I'd encourage those listening, if you do have a data lake in-house and something you guys want to leverage more, and you have thought about some of the problem I mentioned earlier, you know, by all means, come to our website, denodo.com, reach out to us, because you know, we think that's really a game changer, not just for us, but for organizations out there who are trying to get more out of the data lake.
Definitely. Thanks, Felix. So a quick message for our listeners: if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources related to all things data.